Okay, today's stuff is Daf Yud. And last shiur, we left in a bit of suspense with a story. If you remember, Rish Lakish said that if a Nasi that sins, not only gives it Malkus, but it's also demoted, right? That's it. Game over for the Nasi. Because we're scared that when he gets his position back, he'll actually end up using his position of authority to seek retribution, to take revenge on those that punished him. That's what it said. So the Rabbi Yudan Nasiya heard this, got angry at him, sent people to bring him in, and then Reb Shlakish defended himself and ran off. Then and hid. And then, if you remember the way we ended the incident, we haven't finished yet. We're in mid story. Is that when Rabbi Nasi went to the Beit Vad, he and Rabbi Yochanan was also there. He asked Rabbi Yochanan to say Dvar Torah, and he started doing a one-handed clap, indicating that he's unable to without the presence of Reish Lakish there. So he said, "Oh, here's the key. Let's go and so where is he? Where is the Rabbi?" Reish Lakish says, "Bahada bagadla." So Amar Lehi said to him, "We're about to line down. Lamachar tomorrow." This is the Nasi saying to Rabbi Yochanan, "Ana va'at, you and I, nafik lekadmaya. We're going to go get him." Then it says, "Shalach Rabbi Yochanan legabe Reish Lakish." Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, advanced warning, if you like, "Atir lecha." Like, prepare yourself, mila d'oraita, a word of Torah, the nasiya nafik lekadmon, because the nasi is coming to greet you. Nafik lekadmon, they came before him, Umar, and he said, digma didchun damya lebiraitchun, as in bereichem, that your conduct, if you like, is similar to that of your creator. Okay. Ka'ata rachmana, lemifrak yit Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to redeem Am Yisrael, lo shalach, he didn't send it, lo shalach v'lo malach, like we say on Saturday night, elo hu ba'atzmo, he came on his own, dichtiv avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim. In other words, just as in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and we'll add a little bit more as well, that the entire entourage to take Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim, so to me, I am so-called in hiding and therefore captive. You didn't send a shalach to get me, you came yourselves. So you've acted, giving him a high compliment, if you like. You're acting like a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this just a little bit. V'lo od ella, and he got all the huvachol dargun d'day. It was him and his entire entourage, and the Mara fool, so Korbaneda fills in the gaps because it says shach asher halach Elohim lo yinktiv ella ka asher halchu Elohim, meaning that's in the plural. That wasn't Hashem on his own, but the whole, if you like, heavenly entourage came along with and redeemed to do redeeming. So now Rabbi Yehuda actually asks a question. Amalei, Umar Chamid Meimar Hamdilta. Why did you decide to teach this Torah? It seemed to be disrespectful to me, the content of what he was saying. He took it as a disrespect. So Amalei, Matan Sarv, what do you think? Reish Lakish said back to the Nasi. Ma dachu minuchu, because I'll be scared of you. V'havi mana ufanei derachmana, and therefore, as a result, not teach Torah. No, this is a sugya. We're teaching the Torah, and that's a sin. That's a din. Damash Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzhak. Al banai ki lo tova hashmua, which is the beginning of the pasuk talk about like a bad, no, don't do this, but like a ki lo tova hashmua, meaning it sounds like your conduct is not correct. The rest of the pasuk ends off with, the whole pasuk hashmua, asher anochi shomea, ma'avirim am Hashem. So ma'avirim, the understanding is, no, we take him down from his post. So in other words, well, I wasn't coming out to get you specifically. I didn't invent this idea. It's a pasuk and it's Torah I'm teaching. Let's continue. Now, this next piece as well, we saw this back in Moad Katan, and it begins really. If you look at Marfoli, he fills in a little bit more of a gap here because it begins with the Mishnah. Taman, it says, Taninan Kohen Gadol Porem Milamata VeHedyot Milamalan. That's exactly what is up above and below. We'll explain what we're talking about. We're talking about doing Kriya here. Now, important background to the sugya that if you remember, we did this in Moad Katan. Is that it says when it comes to the Kohen, begadav lo yifrom, he's not allowed to tear his clothes. So in other words, he might have to do kriya, but in order not to do kriya, to qualify as, well, he has to do kriya, I might do kriya, but in order to not violate the provision of begadav lo yifrom, he does it milamata, from below. So it's considered kriya. However, it doesn't go against the din of the Torah of begadav lo yifrom, which is because it's not done in, it's not the Kederach Kriya, let's put it that way. So there's some sort of shinui occurring. Exactly what the nature of the shinui is, of what it means, melamata is debated. So now back to the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar says, B'shem Rav Kana, lamalan means lamala mikaneh safa, milamata is lamata mikaneh safa. So above means you're actually, it's all happening at the top of the garment. The question, are you going straight from the edge of the garment to do Kriya? That's milamala. However, the Kohen Gadol seems to be able to go below the hem, if you like, and within the beged itself. That's what it seems to be. Okay, and therefore it's not considered, if you like, a then it's not considered like a kriya b'gadavloi from. That's what it sounds like. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Lamata means lamata mamash, at the bottom of the garment. Okay, mashma what? If you do a kriya at the top and it doesn't go all the way to the top, it would be considered a proper kriya and b'gadavloi from. It's considered a mamash didn't kriya and it would be a violation. That's why it has to do with the bottom. That's important. So the Gemara now continues. Rabbi Yochanan salik mevakar of chanina. So he went to, he was unwell, got istirata, when he was on the road itself, shamad, he heard he was unfortunately niftar, he died. So Amar, he's shalach manui tavya deshubta, bring me my Shabbos clothes, ubazia, and he did kriya. So he did kriya. Now, Rabbi Yochanan palig al Rabbi Yehuda batarti. Rabbi Yochanan says to be cholik on Rabbi Yehuda on 2 points. Now, we haven't seen Rabbi Yehuda yet. But Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that any kriya that's not from the Safa at the top is not considered a good kriya. So what are the 2 points he's arguing? One is the Rabbi Yehuda says you don't do kriya on anyone except for Aviv V'Imo, and you see Rabbi Yochanan did kriya for Rav Chanina. That's point number one. And number two, it seems to be that he was also cholek on what's considered a good kriya or not. Now the way Rav Chaim explained in Moed Katan seems to be is because we saw up above. The proof that if it was mitachat la safa, sorry, the reason why he says the Kohen Gadol does kriya at the bottom is because if it was at the top, even if it doesn't go all the way to the edge, it would be a proper kriya. Therefore, it has to go down to the bottom. That's cholek on Rabbi Yehuda that says not a proper kriya. It's nothing, absolutely nothing. Korban says differently. His mashma, if you like, from the actual the fact that it was a Shabbos clothes, so clearly he wouldn't have torn it to all the way to the hem. That's always my farish, but it's really the same point. In terms of what the machlok is about. So that's why it's called like if Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like Rabbi Yehuda Batarti. And it seems to be Be'at Rabbi Lazar B'Shem Kahana. It seems Rabbi Lazar then, who says it's like Rabbi Yehuda. Because again, when it comes, the reason why it's Lo Yifrom is because it's, again, his opinion was Milamata means just below the hem itself. And Rabbi Yehuda says when it's below the hem, it's not a proper kriya, so it seems to align. However, it says Ik Rabbi Yehuda Lo Yifrom Kulikar. Okay, if you say that Rabbi Lazar is like Rabbi Yehuda, then what he is doing is achieving absolutely nothing. It's not even a good kriya at all. So why would you tear it at all if it's below the hem? Okay, we're navigating two considerations here, really, in this sugya. One is what satisfies kriya for a more in the case of mourning, and also what would not be a violation of the prohibition of gadavloi from in terms of big dekohen of the kohen gadol, right? So we're saying. You're trying to say that it's that the reason Rabbi Eliezer says it's below, it still kind of seems to be it's like a good kriya, but it's not violating. But according to Rabbi, if you say it's like Rabbi Yehuda, it's called a kriya shel tiflut. It's meaningless. So why is the Kohen tearing his clothing at all? So the again, I'm explaining this sugya like we explained like Rabbi Chaim in the back in Moed Katan. So the Gemara now says. Again, it's Veikra Rabbi Yehuda like from Kolikar. So Lo Atya Dela Ella, it must be as following. Ella, that is like Rabbi Meir, because Ella Aviv, but and specifically that bright is talking about Aviv Ve'imo, and that's like Rabbi Meir. Why? The Tani that says, Al Kola Meitim Einu Mavdil Kanal Safa Ella Aviv Alimo. That's the Rabbi Meir. Therefore, Aviv Ve'imo, that's when you're to Kriya all the way to the edge. In other words, you don't. That's what it seems. Mashma for Aviv V'Imo, it's a kriya all the way in, even though for other people it will be considered a kriya if it doesn't go to the end. That's important. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol kerasha enu mavdil kanav asalar is a kriya shel tiflot. Then it's considered absolutely nothing. So, how are we saying it's like Rabbi? So, my kadun, Chomer u'b'kan gadol, she change the gil, she enu mavdil kanav safa. So, in other words, for Aviv V'Imo, again, we're saying Rabbi Lazar now is like Rabbi Meir. For Aviv V'Imo, normally you have to tear all the way to the end. Okay? For Aviv V'Imo. It's still considered kriya for other people if it doesn't go to the end. So therefore, he does this kriya, but because he doesn't go to the end for Aviv V'Imo, this Kohen Gadol, it's not considered Begadavloi from because it's not Kederech kriya that one would normally do for their parents. Okay, I'll say it one more time to make it clear. For one's parents go to remarry, you normally have to go to the end. For the Kohen Gadol, we're more machmir, if you like, that he doesn't go to the end, So it doesn't violate Megad Avloi from, because it's not Kederech Kriya like in general. However, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda that's meaningless. No, it is meaningful because you see, for other people, we would that is still considered satisfactory for Kriya, meaning just even if it doesn't go to the end. I mean, for other people, I should say, other relatives. Okay, Beseder. Let's continue. Kohen Gadol Makriv Onen V'lo Ochel. Now, I'm going to share a sheet with you here. We're explaining it like the Korban Eidah, the Mefarshim, because they're differently. I think Artscroll does it differently here as well, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll just share here. Now, it says as follows. An Onen, as you know, is someone who lost a relative, and this is on the day of their on the day of the death, exactly when the period of Aninu ends and the rest of the mourning continues. What's the race of the Rabban? We're going to discuss soon. So it says, what about a Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash? He's makriv onen. Now this is learned from the parasha, where Aaron HaKohen's sons died and he was offering, but not eating. The whole dialogue and the machlokas, if you have in learning, if you like, between Moshe and Aaron in this in there. But where do we learn it from? Now the Kohen Gadol makriv onen v'lo ochel. It sounds like the Kohen Gadol is he offers as an onen korbanot, but doesn't eat. That's Rabbi Meir. We have to understand what this means in a minute. Then he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, kolot ayom, that entire day. That entire day, what? We'll see that in a minute. And Rabbi Shimon says, gomer kol avodah shesh bado ubalo. So it seems to be clear from him that he will just complete what he's done and then stop any work. Stop any avodah. Okay. Now, the first way the Gemara understands it, this is the Korban Eidah, as a way of reading the Sugya, is as follows, I can see in this third column, if you like, going from the right. So it says, let's understand the difference between the Shittot. Bein Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, there's Chada. So Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon is, because Rabbi Shimon says, Bidi Eved, he can finish the Avodah, but then he stops and gets out of there. Rabbi Meir, however, says, according to this reading, is, Big Mikdash, as long as he's in the base of Mikdash, he can keep doing Avodah. Okay, that's Chada. Bein Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Shimon is, well, really Tarte, because Rabbi Yehuda says, according to this understanding, even if it's at home, you bring him home to do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas and when he's there, he can lachichil avod. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, he just finishes what he can do and gets out. That's like 2 points of machloket. But in Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda is hachnasa. So again, on this chart, Rabbi Meir says, oh, while he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he can lachichil do avodah, but you don't bring him from home. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kolot ha'yom means we even bring him from home. Okay, mevayim mitoch beito. So that's like the three shittot. So if you look at it this way, Rabbi Shimon seems to be the most machmir, and Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the most makil, if you like, that he even bring him from home to do avodah. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, while he's in there, he keeps doing avodah. That's reading number one of the machloket. Rabbi Yaakov ben Dusai says actually, it mafsik ben ahim. It's a different opinion. Meaning that's what's between Shittat Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So just to explain, Rabbi Meir Omer, now I'm going to change the gerus as I go along here. Everyone seems to change it in different ways, but this is again the Korban Eidah's way. Haya bifnim, if he's inside, lo haya yotze. If he was bachutz, haya bachutz, haya nichnas. Meaning according to Rabbi Meir, this is a bit like we understood Rabbi Yehuda before. That if he was inside, then he wouldn't leave. Lo yetzer, insert the word. If he was outside, our bechutz haya nichnas, meaning you bring him in because it's mitzvah akiv kelevagatzarol. It's inyan that he has to dafka do avodah that day. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer haya bifnim, haya yotze. Change the word, not haya nichnas. If he was inside, then we would make him leave. So this seems to be the most machmir. If he was outside, we don't let him to come inside. Now, the way the Korban Eid explains it here is that Rabbi Yehuda, according to this reading of Rabbi Yehuda ben Dusai, I think it is that he is most machmir because we don't want him to avodah, because even though a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do avodah, he's not allowed to eat from the korbanot. As we learned from the parsha with Aaron and on the day that his sons were niftar, right? Now, that's a gzeira, of course. So Rabbi Shimon, however, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gomer Kalavadesh Be'adov, which is Rabbi Shimon now in this reading, seems to be the intermediate opinion. He just finishes whatever he does and then he leaves. Now Rabbi Yossi Marbun says, Bereshem Rav Huna, Matnina Messiah, now Korban says that what we're going to read now seems to support the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. That really, that what the Rabbi Yehuda is the most machmir opinion reading, which is, you can see in this like last column over, like over here. Okay? Why so? Because it says, Mina Mikdash lo yetzei mayhem, this well known to the Mishnah. If he has someone who's niftar. If it was in the Mina Mikdash, lo yetzei mayhem, he can't go out. Ein yotze, ein yotze, what's it say once again? Yeah, I didn't read it right. Mina Mikdash lo yetzei mayhem. Ein yotze, yotze hu achareihem. Hen nichnasim vehu nigla. Vyotze mayhem ad petach ha'ir, divrei Meir. So if you remember, we saw in the Mishnah here that he would go. It says imahem im nosea mita eni yotzer. He can't go out imahem specifically with them because we don't become tameh. However, as we explained, that if when they were going to the mavoi, he would make sure it's not there. But when they left the mavoi, he could keep it. So he would sort of tailgate them in a way that he wouldn't be at a distance that he wouldn't become tameh. Okay. So I didn't read this right. It says, I get the reading. I didn't read the reading. I want to read it properly. It says, "Mina mikdash lo yetzer," meaning imahem ein yotzer. He can't go out with them. Avetzia hu acharem, but he can follow them. Hen nechasim hu nigla viyotzei imahem. And when they go in, when they go fast, he can then go out viyotzei imahem. He can sort of tailgate them, like I said, at petach ha'ir, all the way to the entrance of the city. However, Yehuda omer, eino yotzer mina mikdash. He can't go outside the mikdash. Sheneemar, why? Mina mikdash lo yetzer. Mashma what? If Yatsa, if he did leave according to Rabbi Yehuda, lo yachozer, he wouldn't be able to go back inside. Now that understanding of Rabbi Yehuda fits in Rabbi Yaakov ben Dusais, right? Because the first reading was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can see the chart over here in the middle, mivi mitoch beito, we bring him from home. But we just learned here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it sounds mashma that once if he would go out, he wouldn't be able to come back in again. That fits down nicely with the Rabbi Yaakov ben Dasai's understanding Rabbi Yehuda, which is that we don't want him to do avoda, we don't want him to go to the mikdash because we're scared of the gzeira that if we give does avoda, it might end up eating it. Okay, b'seder. Hope that's clear. I'll just stop the sharing. B'seder, let's continue. Rabbi Aval says b'shem Rabbi Lazar, ein anina ela lemet bilvad. The whole concept of aninut, where you end up being as a onen deraisa, pasur, patur, mitzvot, and all the halakhas that relate to that. That is, ela lemet bilvan. I think we discussed aninut and deraisa derivat and the differences, I think, back in Mishnah Moed Katan. In any event, it says as follows. That's only for a met. Dichtiv va'anu va'avlu petacheha. So we see that aninut, anu, is related to avilut. So once again, heitiv, chia bar'ada, v'haktiv, va'anu hadayagim. You see that it can relate to Dayagim, a fisherman, right? It relates to all other manners as well. Okay? And so the Gemara says that Amar of Chanina actually came and made it to She'ein Aninut Tuma Elamet Bilvad. So what Aninut Tuma, I'll just show you here. One second. It says, V'anu HaDayagim. Sorry, here. Kenamanita, sorry. Ein aninut. I mean, asul, meaning ein anochtuma means asul echol b'kodshin tameh. Ketameh. That meaning the type of aninut that would be that you wouldn't be able to eat from korbanot like you are tameh, that's only elamet bilvad. Aval imayonin mitzara devar acher, then we don't say lo gazrin shem itba. We're not concerned that there's a gzera that maybe he became tameh and therefore can't partake in korbanot. He was just upset about something. Okay, let's continue. Tani. Ezu anina, that's mishat mita from the time of death. Ad shat kfura, that's dibur Rebbe. According to Rebbe, that is aninut doraisa. Okay, however, it says, v'chachamim, it says, kol atoyom, that entire day. So let's read the Korban Ha'eda, he says, meaning, im met lo met mishiva metim shechayg le'tabel aleim. If it's one of the close relatives, kol yom mita bein nikvar amet, bein lo nikvar amet, harei onen doraitis, doraita. Umiyoma from the day of death onwards, va'elech kol zman shelo nikbar, provided it hasn't been buried, his oinem midrabanan, that's the opinion of Chachamim. Va'yoma kfura onen derabanan kol atoyam afilu achar. Sorry, v'yoma kfura onen l'rabanan should be kol atoyam afilu achar kfura. However, and said umishni kvar met v'yom rishon shel mita kol alei shachav onen midrabanan. So again, according to the Chachamim, it seems to be only Yom Mita, the first day is Doraisa, even if the body hasn't been buried yet, even for a number of days. From that point on, is Midrabanan, where it seems to be according, it sounds like at this stage, we'll see in a moment, according to Rebbe, it's up until the point of burial. Now, that could be a number of days later, as the Gemara is going to say. Eshkach mar kulat v'chumra. We find therefore there's a kul and chumra. Al dat the Rebbe kulat v'chumra. You find. Sorry, start again. Eshkach mar. You can say that kulat v'chumra al dat the Rebbe and kulat v'chumra al dat the Rabbanan. That there's a kul and chumra according to both the shitot of Rebbe and Rabbanan. So my nafkamina, what's a nafkamina? Hasso, because met v'nik bar b'shato. Let's say if someone dies and is buried soon after, al dat the Rabbanan is still considered on an asul kolot hayom. Al dat the Rebbe, because the Rebbe ain't no asur ella ashat bilvad, because he's up until kvura, he's considered an on it. That's it. However, what happens if it's met b'nikbar, which took a number of days, lachar shalosh yamim? Al dat the Rabbanan kodesh chachamim, it's asur kolato hayom. Chachamim is only on and deraita, as we explained the first day. Even if it takes many days to bury it, after that point, it's on and derabanan, as we read before. Al dat the Rebbe asur, he's asur ad shalosh yamim. He would be asur until still on end, until 3 days have passed. However, after Rabbi Aval b'shem Rabbi Yochanan v'Rav Chista tarvei umar mod Rabbi l'chachamim. The Rabbi agrees chachamim she'ein asur elo toyom bilvad. Not always. What it means here, very importantly, tarvei according to Korbanei says amrin she'ein Rabbi elo kula. Rabbi is always mekil. D'mode Rabbi im lo nikbar bo bayom she'ein kan aninot pod. That if he's not nikbar bobiyom on that day, eina kan aninut od, that he's no longer an onen deraisa going forward. So he is almost like takes both shittot, meaning up until burial or the end of the first day. That's how we understand shittat Rebbe. So let's continue. Kade detani Rebbe Amar, teda lecha she'einu laila Torah. I can prove to you now that ein aninut is not doraita at night time, the night that follows. Shrei Amru Onen Tovel V'Chal Pischol Ha'erev, that an Onen can simply immerse in a mikveh and then partake in a korban that night. So korban it explains V'Yisal Chaday. If you want to say that it's Doraita, V'Chiyesh Shechol Abiyat Chachamim L'Kol Devar Torah V'Vukum Va'Ase, how can the Chachamim oker the Adin Doraisa? So it must be clear that even though we say that Kol Hayom, by night time it's just Onen Derabanan. Okay, Vere Amru Aninot Torah. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? By Amru, it seems to imply Aninot Torah. So it's to understand this, look at the Korban, and it says, the fact that it says he can immerse and eat Korban Pesach at night, mashma what? It were Korban Pesach during the day to eat it. Assumingly, it's not, but if it was, the Onin wouldn't be able to eat it during the day. Shma Minayin implies what? The Aninot Yom, that the contra Aninot Yom, is afilu lachar kvura min haTorah. It seems to be like if like Chachamim that even it's doraita even after zman kvura. That's one. We'll just stay with the first Mishnah. However, the Gemara says no, you can't be mashma anything from that because Rav Yossi Bar Bun says b'shem Rav Chuna tiftah shenikvar b'dimdu mechama. We're talking about perhaps it's talking about where the person was, if you like, being buried towards the like end of the day. Mamash as sun is being set, so he was effectively an onen up until Zman Kfura the entire day. Okay, that's what it's effectively saying. But so you can still be mashmer anyway. That nighttime is not considered is onen derabanan, but you can't be mashmer anything regarding the day, in terms of I should say day meaning day after Kfura. Okay, etc. Let's now learn halacha bet. Kushum menachem et acherim derech kol ha'am ovrim ze achar ze. Now here we're talking about doing Nichum Avelim when they would pass by the mourners to say to give comfort. So when he would Menachem Acherim, when he would give comfort to others, Derech Kol Am Ovrim Ze Achar Ze, everyone would be in a line, not the Kohen Gadol. Now the way I saw this explained, I didn't understand this like this previously, but seemed to be everyone would be lining up, going past the Avelim. The Kohen Gadol would be to the outer side, if you like, of them, and the Mumna on the outer side of him. So as they're going through, imagine they're going from, say, right to left. So the Avelim are to the left of the queue, if you like, as they're walking up. Then the Kohen Gadol is to the right of that queue, and the Memuneh, meaning the Skan Kohen Gadol, is to the right of him. So he's on two sides. He's got the Am on one side of him, and he's got the Memuneh on the other side as they're going through to give comfort. Okay? And the kashu mitnachem, if other people accompany him, kol ha'am omrim, everyone else says, anu kaparato, there's another girsa here, I think in our Mishnah, we had a different girsa, yeah. Anu kaparatcha, exactly. Mishnah is anu kaparatcha. Perush is, banu titkaperata, that you should, through us, you should achieve your kapara. We will take your place, whatever punishment. That's the sign of kavod. V'omalav titbarchu min ha'shamayim, you should bless min ha'shamayim. Okay. Ukishimavarinotol. This is Suda Havra'ah, which is given at the, after the mourner's return, the first meal. That's part of the other people are thinking of a meal. It's part of the signs of mourning, you know. It says, unfortunately, it says, oh, it's says, Marvinoto, Kola Am Musubim Al Artiv, Kabo, they would sit on the floor. Who may Seb Al Safsalin, he would sit on a bench. Now, what type of bench is he sitting on? So the Gemara explains, for Kishuman Achemet Achreim, Hada Amr, it must be clear, the Safsal Ein Bo Mishum Kfiat HaMita. That this bench he's sitting on doesn't have the din of turning over the mitah. It doesn't apply to it, otherwise he couldn't sit on it. And also, Kohen Gadol chayv b'kfiyat hamitah. Kohen Gadol is chayv in it. So it seems to be that's probably where the Rambam gets it, that he would still sit on some sort of lower chair of some sort, even though the Kol Ha'am would be on the floor to give him respect. Let's continue. Tani. Ein motzi l'al metzamuch l'kriyat shema. When they're going to bury someone, they don't draw close to zman kriyat shema. Elam ken, unless hikdimur, unless you did an hour before, or ichur shachat, kadesh yikru shema v'yitpalel. In other words, you have to give a certain amount of time such that everyone can have, either before Kriyat Shema or after Kriyat Shema, that everyone has time to daven as well and say Shema. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? We learned this back in Brachos when we started. There's all these discussions in terms of how you do Kriyat Shema when there's a burial and you're on the way back and the Avelim are coming. Can you, the different Shurot, who's in the first row, second row, do you say Kriyat Shema? Do you not say Kriyat Shema? There's halachas about this, about how do we manage Kriyat Shema at the time that when you're trying to menachem the Avelim. So it says, Tiftar, Sabrim, Anna. No, that's talking about a bit of Yevet situation where they thought they had time, but they didn't. They ran out of time. They got it wrong. Okay, it says Tanya Hesped, when it comes to the Hesped, we call our skin Hesped, so the eulogy and people that engage in Nafsikin that stop for Kriyat Shema v'lo tefillah, but not for davening. Says Maisa v'efsiku Rabotenu the Kriyat Shema u'lo tefillah. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Atina im yicholim la'chil v'ligmor. So once again, back to Brachos, it says that it says the hare ein mafsik, it says im yicholim la'chil v'ligmor hare the ein mafsikin v'kriyat Shema. There it's talking about if you can quickly say it. You know, how do you do it and coordinating how they're going to do the Kriyat Shema? But what we're learning here, it seems to suggest that they were mafsik for Kriyat Shema. And they didn't have to worry about how can we slip it in, all the considerations. Again, back to Masechta Brachos. So the Gemara says, no, matnita b'yom rishon. Umadatani is b'yom sheni. It makes a difference. So in the concept of the Shura, she'osim b'yom rishon l'kfura, that's on the first day. That's when you say, oh, we've got to be able to slip it in or not. However, that bright we're talking about the masbidim, that's on Yom Sheni. Meaning on Yom Sheni, when it's not as intense, that's when there may be mafsik for Kriyat Shema. But on the first day, they would not mafsik for Kriyat Shema, and there would be the people in the Shura would have to work out, you know, can we fit it in or can we not? How do we time it? Who's meant to break for Kriyat Shema? Who's not? Things like that. Okay, Beseder, we'll take it from here. Have a good day.